Let's go ahead and get our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. It's nice to have not just Kaylee and Christian Bateman home. It's also, as you saw, Christian Pease and Reese home and college students that are home. It's nice to have them home for the summertime. Excited about how God's working in their lives. Looking forward to high school and elementary and junior high guys getting done school for the year, too. Don't forget to be praying for them also. Next Sunday morning at the end of the service, we're going to have a baptism. So if you have not been baptized and you would like to be a part of the baptismal service, please see me after church. I'll be glad to sit down and talk with you about what it means to be baptized and making sure that hearing your salvation testimony and making sure that you want to be a part of that. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, you kind of get the picture, and I think it's something that many of us struggle with is, I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit stubborn. Sometimes it takes me a little while to learn things. And this is written in the Bible, says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, is because we're going to have the same problems that the children of Israel had. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, the Bible says in verse number 6, now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication and some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So what it's saying in verse number 11 is, all those things that happened in the Old Testament, they were written, they were put in history for a purpose. And that purpose is for us to learn. For us to learn not to make the same mistakes, for us to learn so we do not continue to have the same type of punishments. Not only was it written there, it was also written in Psalm 78, we're going to look at in a little while, talking about many of the same things as the temptations and sins that the world deal with. And I hear what you're saying, because I feel the same thing, is that the temptations out there in the world, it seems like you have to give in to them sometimes. It seems like sin, is you just got to do it. You don't have a choice. Sometimes you got to be angry, or sometimes you got to be smart aleck, or sometimes you have to have those wrong thoughts. And that's what the world and the devil will try to tell you. Hey, look, you don't have any choice. You might as well just go ahead and sin. You don't have to live victoriously. But the Bible teaches us that we can have a way of escape. Here in chapter number 10, verse number 13, we'll actually read verse number 12. It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. What the Bible is saying there, if you don't think you have any problems, you're going to be the one that has the problem. You need to be careful there to not say, hey, I'm good, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to have any problems. But the reality is that we are all sinners. We all deal with a fleshly nature, and we all have things that we are tempted by and all have things that we struggle with. But here in verse number 13, you have a great verse that teaches us a wonderful example that God is faithful, and he will never give you anything more than you can handle with his help, and he's going to give you a way of escape. Let's look here in verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. So you see that he said, look, there's no temptation out there that's taking you. And this temptation means the idea of the thing that you're tempted with, such is common to man. It's saying that that temptation that you're facing, that you feel like nobody else has ever been through, that no one else has ever dealt with, guess what? It's happened. Man, it's not common to you. It's not to, hey, I know it might be different circumstances, but we're still dealing with the flesh, still dealing with the world, still dealing with the devil, still dealing with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. All these different things that you struggle with, don't think that, hey, you're the only person that struggles with it. Because guess what? We all do. Don't use that as an excuse and just say, well, this must just be for me. These promises can't apply to me because of the fact I still sin sometimes. Look what the Bible says here. There is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful. Do we agree with that? Is God faithful? Come on, you can do better than that. Is God faithful? I know you don't say amen that much, but you can do a little bit better when we're talking about God being faithful. He is faithful to us. There is never a time that he has not been faithful to us. He is faithful. He is good. He is right. And that's what he's saying here, but God is faithful. Now, what is he faithful about in this verse that helps us with our temptations? He says that he is faithful. He said, God is faithful, who will not suffer you, which means he will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. What the scripture is saying there is he is not going to give you or allow a temptation to come into your life and something that you cannot have victory over. You can live a victorious Christian life. The Bible says, but thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, what do we have faith in? We have faith in God. We're not trusting in ourselves, because when we trust in ourselves, and that's what many people do with their temptations, that's what many people do with their sin, and their own strength and in their own power, they feel like they can handle it. They feel like they can overcome it. They feel like they can accomplish it and that they can live the successful Christian life. It's just not true. God is faithful, but what's he faithful with? He's going to give you the victory when you try the hardest. No, it's even our faith. Let's keep on going. It says, it will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. He says, you always have another choice. There's never a time in your life where you don't have another choice. And I know what goes through some of our minds is, I don't have a choice. I have to act this way. And I hear it. This is just the way I'm made. This is just the way I am. And remember what we learned about last week, the fruits of the Spirit. If the fruits of the Spirit isn't coming out of you, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, those are the things that come from the Spirit. Those things that you say is just the way I am, I don't have any choice, you're not saying that God is faithful to make you able to have a way of escape. Because you know what? He says right here, you can have a way of escape. You don't have to have a bad attitude. You don't have to be negative. You can live by faith. You don't have to lie. You don't have to do whatever those sins. You don't have to have those dirty thoughts. You don't have to keep on going back to the pornography. You don't have to keep on treating your wife wrong or not loving your husband. You don't have to be disobedient to your parents. You can have a way of escape. And then it continues on. It says at the end, it says that ye may be able to bear it, that you can bear the temptation. You don't have to give it in. He said, oh, great, if I can give in, that means I can do whatever I want. I can go whatever way I want. I can do it. Look what it says in verse number 14. It says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. What it's saying is, don't even mess with it. He's going to give you a way of escape, but it's not something that you want to sit there and be a part of and have something that you're playing with all the time. So this morning, we're going to look at this thought, a way of escape. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. Lord, I know that it's been a busy weekend for many people. Thankful for the luncheon we had yesterday. Thank you for all the ladies. Thankful for all the men that helped. And I know it took a lot of time and effort on a lot of people's parts. I know many of us are tired. I know some are coming back from traveling from different things. But Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you would direct our thoughts, Lord, that you would put an emphasis on your word, apply these verses to our heart. Help us to leave this place rejoicing in the fact that we can have victory, that you do offer that way of escape. And Lord, as we just look down this passage of scripture and consider some of the things that the Israelites did, and as we consider some of those things, how they apply to our own lives, that we will rejoice in the fact that we are not tempted above that we're able to handle with your help. Lord, we don't have to live in sin. The devil tries to tell us that. The devil tries to beat us over the head with it. But we can have a victorious Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we were looking last week about being a godly mother or spirit-filled mother, talking not just that, but talking about how we all can be spirit-filled, the challenge is, how did we do last week? We went through and we looked at that list. We gave a little application to it. And we said, these are the things that if you're spirit-filled, spirit-controlled, these are the things that are going to be coming out of you. And I know that I'm not, and some of them are things that we're not really very good at. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. And then you think about that gentleness, the goodness, and all those different things. And we're like, man, I messed up in those things. So what's the problem? We didn't think about what the problem was as I just got to try a little harder. No, it means that we got to give more of ourselves over to God. He can produce those things in your life. If you're a child of God and the Spirit of God lives within you, guess what? They're already in there. We just have to let him bring them out. And here, when we look at this passage of Scripture, one of the reasons why we do not let those things come out is because we deal with some of the same issues that the children of Israel dealt with many, many years ago. And the exciting thing is, when he said God is faithful, he was faithful today to us. He was faithful to this Corinthian church that this was written to, or the church of Corinth. And he also was faithful to the nation of Israel many, many years ago. So he's saying back then they had a way of escape. Here in this time period when this was written, there was a way of escape. And the day and time that we live in today, there is a way of escape. So many times we live underneath the bondage and burden of sin. We began a series in most of our adult Sunday school classes they called the Freedom from Bondage. And that's how it's going to be talking about how God has delivered the nation of Israel underneath the bondage of slavery. And he did it in a miraculous way. It was kind of exciting this morning's lesson. You know, the Pharaoh wanted to kill all the baby boys. But you know what? That one baby boy, Moses, ended up inside Pharaoh's house. I think it's kind of funny that Pharaoh said that boy should die, but Pharaoh ended up taking care of that boy. He ended up paying for his food, his lodging, ended up giving him the best teachers and the best training and all those other things, and trained him so well that he was able to help deliver the nation of Israel another 40 years later, 80 years later, depending on where Moses. You think about it, that's exciting. They even took Moses and said, here to the mother, will you take care of this baby for a little while, and had the opportunity to teach him about the one true God? It is amazing how God works. Jochebed had such a hard decision she had to make there. The Pharaoh looked at Jochebed and said, you need to kill your son. So you say, well, that's crazy. Well, yeah, we might think that's crazy, but that is the most powerful man alive saying, you're going to obey me, you're going to kill that son. And she had fear God, just like the midwives, fear God more than they feared Pharaoh, and they made a decision. They're going to do what's right. She was going to protect her child. And she went, and it's just amazing how God worked that whole story out. What are you getting at? There was a way of escape there. She did not have to listen to the Pharaoh. She did not have to listen to what the world was telling her. She didn't have to listen to what the leaders was telling her. She did what she knew was right. There's always a way of escape. You go throughout the Bible, you see some great stories. You think about the Josephs of the Bible who were beaten down, in a sense, thrown in a pit, thrown in jail, accused of rape, accused of all these things, and he chose to live for God. There was a way of escape, and we see in the end that Joseph was someone that was miraculously used by God. Yesterday in our luncheon, we talked about how God puts the pieces together, and when life gives you lemons, let God make it something sweet. Talk about the story of Ruth, how Ruth was born in a nation that was under a curse. Not only that, her husband died just a little while after they were married. And then she had to deal with her mother-in-law that didn't want her to come with them. And then the mother-in-law was bitter and she had to live with them. And then she had to go out and continue working and working. And she chose to always make that way of escape. Why is that? Because God can make it look beautiful. God can take those pieces. You have a choice. Many of us, if we were Joseph, we would have been angry at our brothers, wouldn't have done the work we should at Potiphar's house, would have never been promoted, would never have been thrown in, all those different things. And when we're in prison, we're not going to sit there and care about whether our prisoner is sad or not. No, they chose to do what was right, time in and time out, because there was that way of escape. And in your life today, there is a way to have victory over sin. That's what God's help. Let's go and take our Bibles to Psalms chapter 78. In Psalms chapter 78, it's an awesome chapter of the Bible. There are so many good things in it. But it gives a little bit of a background or a similar story than what's found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We're going to go back and see all the different warnings that is given in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, the things that we need to be careful about that leads us to that 1 Corinthians 10:13 verse that we're focusing on. He says, look, you're going to struggle here. You're struggling here, here, and here, but God's going to give you a way of escape. Look what it says in Psalms chapter 78. I think we'll go ahead and begin in verse number 16. It says, and he brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. Talking about how God was miraculous. If you went and you read the verses before that, it even talks about in verse number 12, the marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, how they had not been passed down. And because of that, it says in verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. So they're in the wilderness. God is taking them out of Egypt. He's bringing them to the promised land that we heard sung about a little bit earlier. I like the song, but I think Canaan land represents the promised land. And the promised land, I don't think that talks about heaven. I think that talks about the victorious Christian life. And sometimes there is sorrow, and sometimes there is things. I think Canaan land, some people refer to heaven, and I understand the reason that's there. But when we're talking about here, they had problems in the promised land. They had battles they had to fight. They had giants they had to fight. And he says he brought the streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like the rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? So they're provoking him. They're not trusting him. They're tempting him. God is providing, and they're asking for more. That is the lust that they're going to be talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 in just a minute. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? He said, God did all these things. Is God able also to give bread? Can he provide flesh for his people? They begin questioning God. They begin saying, is God able? What they're doing is they're murmuring. They're saying, yeah, maybe God can give us water, but can God give us food? Oh, yeah, maybe God can give us manna, but can God give us flesh? And they begin to say, is God able to provide a table and an ordinance? And the answer is yes. They begin to tempt him, and it continues on, verse number 21, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. And when you're not trusting the Lord and you're trusting other things, you put things before God, it is an idol in our life. Anything we put before God, anything that we trust in him, we make an idol. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind and rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation, so that they did eat and were filled. For he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lusts. But while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen of men of Israel. For all this, they sin still and believe not for his wonderful works. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that the nation of Israel struggled here. They record it once again in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 as being written to a church of Corinth, and it's saying, look, they struggled here. You're going to struggle with the same things, but you have a way of escape. It's something that's written there, and the purpose why it's written is because it's an example, or it's in samples to us, so we don't make the same mistakes. Let's keep on going. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble when he slew them. Then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God, and they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God, their redeemer. Nevertheless, did they flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. They said they were going to get right. They said that they were going to change. They began flattering with their mouth, and they began speaking, but their hearts did not mean what they were saying. Let's keep on going. Verse 37, for their heart was not right with them, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. I know our theme this year is about being steadfast, and not just in the steadfast and being stubborn on certain issues. It's about being steadfast in spiritual disciplines, like reading our Bible, praying, being a witness. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, in that next phrase, and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor today when he delivered them from the enemy. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I was just showing you there that it's been recorded not only in the stories that are found in Exodus and found in the Pentateuch and found in Joshua and found in Judges. It's recorded also here in the Psalms. And the point is, they limited the Holy One of Israel. God had special things planned for them. God desired things. God wanted them to get to Canaan land. He wanted them to possess Canaan land. He wanted to tell the world and make an awesome testimony about the nation of Israel. But what did they do? They went. First time they messed up and they had to wander in the desert for 40 years, or the wilderness for 40 years. And then they go back and they don't even possess but just a small portion of the land. God had so much more planned for them. God has so much more planned for us. God has a desire that we live in a Christian life, but not just a Christian life, a victorious Christian life. He doesn't desire that we live under the bondage of sin. Instead, he's saying, look, there's no temptation that's taking you that's common to man, but God is faithful. You can have victory in your Christian life. So let's look first and foremost at some of the different warnings that we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I alluded to a few of them earlier in Psalm 78 to just try to whet your appetite, but to show you it's written more than once, but you could have used many stories in the Old Testament. The first thing in verse number 6 said, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. He's saying, I wrote those things down on purpose. I didn't want to make the nation of Israel look bad. I didn't do it to make you feel sorry for them. I didn't do you to say that you agree with me and say, yeah, you should have punished them. Yeah, you should have sent the serpents. Yeah, you should have did this. He says, the reason why I wrote those things down is so you can learn something, is that you shouldn't lust after the flesh. They're written there, and it's sort of like this. Are we ever going to learn? Are we ever going to learn? He says here in verse number 6, there are examples that we should not lust after flesh, after evil things, as they also lust. He said, what did they lust after? They were in the wilderness. Well, God gave them water. They started saying, hey, can he give us food? He gave them manna, called angel food. And then not only that, he gives them flesh, and they continue to complain and continue to complain. They were lusting after their flesh. There was things that they were inordinate desires after carnal objects. God had fed them something, and they said they wanted more. So how does that apply to us? Well, we lust after things of the flesh. Many times there are things in our lives that we're not happy and satisfied with, that we're not content, and we see something that's in our flesh says, oh, I want that, and we begin to have our affections toward those things. Not only does he do that, and we got to go for sake of time, verse number 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up early to play. Most of us will remember that story. It has to do with the making of the golden calf, how the Moses is up on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, and how Aaron was there with the people, and Aaron kind of gave in to the people, and Aaron formed this golden calf, and how they got up and they danced and they sang and they did all those wicked things. And you know what? They said that this was the person who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They had an idol in their life. And I want to encourage you that if there's something in your life that's before God, it's what the Bible would call an idol. Verse number 8, it talks about, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell one day, 3 in 20,000. It's talking about fornication, talking about lustful ways and using other people. And it's something the church of Corinth knew a lot about. Verse number 9, neither let us tempt Christ, and the idea of testing him and the idea of provoking him, as we saw in chapter 78, how they continue to provoke God over and over. And some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. And verse number 19 is probably something that many of us are familiar with. It says, neither murmur ye. You ever murmur? You ever complain? It's written there. That's what the nation of Israel was famous for. That's why they said Moses was one of the meekest men that ever lived, because he listened to all that complaining. He listened to all that bitterness. He listened to all that whining. And he says, look, you're not supposed to be those things. And he says, I've wrote those, and these are the things that they struggle with in Israel. These are the things that the Church of Corinth struggle with, and these are the things that many of us struggle with also. And he says in verse number 11, now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they were written for our admonition. I mean, they were written for our learning. They were written so we can grow. They were written so we can learn something from him, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then he says in verse number 12, you see the warnings there, but he gives one more warning. He says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I've met people in the world who think that they've never sinned. I know what you're saying. You say, you mean you never sinned? They said, yes, I've never sinned. He said, well, you just lied. You know what? That doesn't tell them anything. If they don't believe they've ever sinned, they don't think that they're lying. But sometimes I've gone down and looked at the Ten Commandments, and I showed them that as sort of like what Jesus did with the rich young ruler. And he says, all those things I've done since my youth. And Jesus said, what about this? And there was that one thing that he knew that he couldn't do. And he said, how do you deal with someone like that? You show them the Bible and says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you let the Holy Spirit of God work in their heart and let the Holy Spirit of God lead you and guide you. And it's sad when you meet a person who says, I've never done anything wrong in my entire life. But it's just as sad when there's a believer or a Christian out there that's so prideful that believe that they could never fall in sin. And sometimes when you even go to somebody to try to talk to them, not even in correction, but just try to restore fellowship. And they feel like they've never done wrong. They have the wrong type of attitude. And they just feel like they don't even deserve to talk to you. They come to the spot and they say, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, meaning that you're able to handle all these things by yourself, take heed. Be very careful when you get to the spot where you don't think you need God. Because that's what you're saying, is that I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody's help. But in all reality, we need God. And he says, be very careful. You're the person that should be extra careful here. Because he says, take heed lest you fall. I want to encourage you today. We're all, like it says in verse number 13, we have temptations. All of us have the opportunity to fall. But there is a way to escape. Let's look in verse number 13. There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. You know, sometimes I think what I'm going through is something like no one else has ever dealt with. But it's just not true. There's nothing new under the sun, it says in the Bible. Why is that? It's because we've all experienced it. It's all been done. All the things that we think that we're facing today, yes, it's done underneath different names, different stories, different people. But nothing is new to God. Nothing is common. It's something that we are all part of. But God is faithful. And I think about his faithfulness. What is God faithful at? God's faithful at all things. I think about how he is faithful to save the person who comes unto him, save the person who cries out to him. I know this morning's message about having a victorious Christian life, and the only way that you can have true victory over sin is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that we're all sinners and we're all lost and we're all undone and we all need a Savior, that Jesus Christ came to this world to pay sin debt for us. He died on that cross. He paid our sin debt for us. And the Bible says, if we will call out unto him, so for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we will cry out to God and say, God, I know that Christ died. I believe he died, he buried, and he rose again to pay my sin debt. I understand that my sin has separated me from God, and we feel that God is convicting of us of sin and see that we need a Savior. The Bible says that he is faithful with that. He will save anyone who comes in. There is in no wise will he cast anyone out. And I'm excited about that. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven this morning, God can save you even today if you'll come to him the Bible way. Not only is he faithful with that, he's faithful to, it says in 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just. To do what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just. What does that mean? Every single time, he'll cleanse us. Every single time that we come to him. And so when we believe that he'll help us with salvation, when we believe that he'll cleanse us from our unrighteousness, here we're saying that we believe that God is going to make a way of escape when it comes to our struggles with temptations. You say, well, I don't ever have any temptations. Take heed lest you fall. So when you have a struggle in your heart, when you have a struggle in your life, remember God has given you this promise. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He will not suffer you to have something in your life and something in your heart that requires you to sin. You can have victory. So, morning, I want to encourage you today, because I know so many of us are beaten down with sin. So many of us feel like we got to watch that show. So many of us feel like we got to go to that page. So many feel like we got to have this type of attitude. So many of us feel like we can't be faithful to church, or that we can't give, or that we can't serve, or that we can't read our Bible, or that we can't pray, that we can't meditate on the scriptures, that we can't be a witness. There are so many different things we feel like we have no control over, no victory over. And God says, hey, I'm faithful. I will make sure that you're able to handle anything that comes into your life. Some people use this verse and say, well, God says he's not going to give me more than I can handle. I say, I think he does give us more than he can handle, so we turn to him. Amen. It's all about what we can handle with him. And that's what he's saying here with these verses. Here's a warning. The nation of Israel thought they could handle it, but they were lusting. They had idolaters. They were fornicators. They were murmurers. They couldn't handle it. And it was written for you. It was written again, and there's examples there. God gives you more than you can handle because he wants you to rely upon him. And he's the one that gives that way of escape. You can't do it on your own. You're right. I've heard many people say, this is just the way I am. This is the way I got to be. The reality is, that's right, you can't change yourself, but God offers you a way of escape. If there is no way that you can be changed, and God is not being faithful, then God is not giving you a way of escape, then God has not offered you the true victory that he says that you can find in the Christian life. You can have victory. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This morning, are you asking God for that way of escape? Are you asking God, where's the alternative? Are you asking God for that opportunity to just say no and go the other direction? He's promised you that you don't have to be a servant of sin. He's promised you that you can have victory. And I don't know what area you're struggling in. And stubbornness is a good one, because that's what the nation of Israel never learned. It's chapter 78. They said they kept on tempting God. They kept on tempting God. And then they would come to church and they would get things right, or go to the tabernacle, and with their mouths they would flatter, but their heart was not right with them. They would say things and they say, oh, yeah, I believe God. I trust God. Hallelujah. All those different things. But their heart was so far away that they leave. And they just kept on falling into the temptations. They kept on the murmuring. They kept on the fornicating. They kept on the idolatry. They kept on the lust of the flesh. They say, Pastor, I don't struggle with any of those things. I don't care what struggle it is that you have, because it's not common. It's something that many people deal with. Now, your sin may be one thing, and my sin may be something different, and this person's sin might be something. But he gives you a way of escape. Don't buy into the lie of the devil that you have to be rude, that you have to be ugly, that you have to be, that you can't pray, that you can't read your Bible, that you can't be a witness. God says he gives you a way of escape. Don't feel like you have been burdened down with this sin and you can never have victory, because victory is yours to be had, because God is faithful. If we believe he's faithful to save whoever calls upon him in faith, if we believe that he's faithful to cleanse us from our unrighteousness as we confess his sins, we also believe he's faithful here to give you that way of escape. Don't let the temptation of this world become something special to you and say, I don't have any choice. You do, but only with God's help. He says, will not have you to be tempted above all that you're able. You're not going to be able to handle it without God's help. This morning, I don't know how God's spoken to your heart, but I know there's some things in my life I feel like I don't really have a choice with. But God reminded me, he's faithful. He offers you a way of escape. Maybe today there's something we need to give to the Lord. Maybe today at this altar there's something you say, hey, God, I feel like I have to do this, but I'm willing to give it over to you. I'm willing to trust you for that way of escape. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I even thank you for the examples and the end samples that are found in the Bible. I know that issues that we struggle with, like the nation of Israel, might be a hard thing for people to process together and compare one with the other. But that lust of the flesh, meaning that I want my way, I know God's given me this, but I want this instead, should not be hard for anyone to process. Lord, we have temptations that come into our life. Lord, we're tempted with sin many times. And we feel like that sin has such a draw and such a pull in our lives that we cannot have victory. But Lord, we believe that you are faithful. Lord, we believe that you say that you will not have us tempted above what we can handle, Lord, without your help. We believe that you offer us a way of escape. We do not have to come and be a servant of that sin. We can truly have victory. And Lord, I pray you give someone victory this morning on some specific sin in their life. Lord, I don't know what maybe they've been dealing with for many years, and they feel like they have to continue watching or continue listening or continue saying or continue acting like or continue being a part of. They feel like they have no choice. But Lord, I pray you give them victory. Remind them that you are faithful. And as your word says, you're not going to give them anything they cannot handle without your help, and that you will offer them a way of escape. Lord, I pray that we learn that today. That way of escape is because how faithful you are. We can have victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.